We've become bored with watching actors give us phony expressions. And welcome to the Movie Ladder Podcast, where we're climbing the rungs of cinematic connections. Each week, we're discussing a movie that connects to the movie from the previous week's podcast. Last week, we talked about Pleasantville, and this week, due to another jumping inside the TV in 1998 connection, we'll be discussing The Truman Show, starring Jim Carrey. And I'm not alone. For the 222nd time, I'm joined by
Brendan Fitzpatrick. And Zach, the last thing I would ever do to you is lie to you.
That's why I trust you. It's because you always tell me you'd never lie to me.
Yeah, I know. I say that so many times, and then I proceed to lie to you. So, well, you know.
Brendan, I can see on your Skype window that you have drawn a space helmet around your head.
I have. Yeah. I thought it was cool, you know? You
always want to be an explorer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Welcome to Finstopia.
Oh, Fitz, all right.
Yeah, population one. let's make a brand new start.
This is very, very pleasant beginning to this podcast. Yes. So we're going to talk about Truman Show. Then at the end of the episode, we'll decide our next movie based on suggestions sent in by you, the listeners, and ones we brought as your hosts. For some reason, I had a very hard time coming up with a list of movies.
Really?
Feel like, I don't know, nothing has struck my fancy. I have a short list, but sometimes what happens is I come in with a short list, and as we're talking, I start adding movies
to the list. Movies, yep. Yeah, happens all the time. Yep. That happens. I feel like that really happens with me when we have guests, and I'm listening to the guests talk, and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. I should add this. Yeah. So it's usually that kind of thing. But
interesting. Okay. All right.
Well, it's harder to stop down and take notes when it's just me and you on the podcast, you know?
True. And we don't have a guest today. It's just the two of us.
No, we don't. So we are,
2 weeks in a row, just the two of us after having like 8 episodes in a row of guests.
Just the two of us. Was that a 1998 song?
Around then, because it was featured in Austin Powers, The Spy second one.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. Well, besides Austin Powers, we'll be spoiling The Truman Show. So if you haven't seen it, it is on Paramount Plus. You can go watch it there and then come listen to this podcast. Yep. Or if you want to skip ahead, here we're going to be watching next week. Timestamp, as always, is in the description of this podcast. But we always suggest that you pause the podcast, go watch the movie, come back, listen to our discussion. I had somebody, Brendan, today who was listening to our Sorcerer podcast from way back in 2021.
Wow.
Criticizing my takes on that. I was like, I literally have no memory of what I said on that
podcast. Yeah, I mean, I think that I've long said, like, at least to you on the side, maybe not on the podcast, if I was ever going to redo an episode, it would be the Sorcerer episode, because I feel like I would have completely different takes now than I did back then. And that's also one that I kind of forget we did in season 2. It feels like a season 1 podcast.
Interesting. All right.
Like, I don't know why I always think that we did that one, like, right at the very beginning, like, way back in the day.
Yeah. So, well, neither of us seem to, I mean, looking back at our notes, at least our scores, neither of us really were too high on that movie.
Yeah, I think I gave it a 3 and you gave it a 2.5. But I would also say that I was a much harsher grader back when we're back in the first couple of years of this. I've loosened up a little on my on my grading scale. So,
Cool. Well, that's a good segue. Social media, all that stuff. At Ladder Movie on Twitter, @laddergmail.com. Since you're such a loosey goosey high grader now, Brendan, what's the best thing you watched this week?
That's a good transition. A+. I want to shout out. So I said at the end of last week's podcast, the thing I was most looking forward to watching last week was the new Steve Martin documentary on Apple TV Plus called Steve, a documentary in 2 pieces, directed by Morgan Neville. I was a little trepidatious going into this once I remembered who the director of Morgan Neville was. Infamously, a few years ago, he released the Anthony Bourdain documentary, Roadrunner, which was pretty controversial for a few different reasons, mainly for his use of AI to recreate Anthony Bourdain's voice.
Oh, geez.
So I was a little trepidatious. That wasn't my biggest problem with that movie, but let's not go on a Roadrunner rant.
I remember you were really excited for Roadrunner back
then. I really was, because I'm such a big Bourdain head. But I was a little trepidatious, and luckily, my trepidations were waylaid pretty quickly by the charm of this documentary, because Steve Martin is basically here to tell his own story in 2 pieces. And it's wonderful. Steve Martin does the majority of the narration here in both parts one and parts two. Part one, he leads us through his childhood and early career all the way through his stand-up until his first big breakout movie role in The Jerk. And then part two fast forwards all the way to 2020 when he's preparing for his Broadway debut with his two-man show that he did with Martin Short that came out a couple of years ago, which they toured the country with. So I really enjoyed part two more than part one because part two was much more of a retrospective on Steve Martin's movie career. And it goes back and forth between them preparing for the stand-up special in present time and him reflecting on his movie career, TV career, and SNL career, because he is the longest running recurring host of SNL. He's had more SNL host appearances than any other person in history, mm-hmm. at least until this point, as far as I can recall. Chester may have to write in and correct me on that, but I believe Steve Martin still holds the record for that. It may be Justin Timberlake now, but I believe Steve Martin still holds the record.
I feel like it's Steve Martin just from the longevity, I would think.
Right, I think it's him from the longevity, but I could be wrong. But yeah, I've always loved Steve Martin. I grew up listening to Steve Martin records when I was a kid. Three Amigos is one of my favorite comedies of all time. We did Parenthood here on the pod a couple of years ago. That was like, I absolutely adored that movie. And I gushed about him, you know, when we did that pod.
Steve Martin, not just in the SNL Five Timers Club, but also in the Movie Ladder Podcast Five Timers Club.
Absolutely. Congratulations, Steve. Way to have a wonderful career capping it off with the Movie Ladder Podcast.
There you go.
I highly recommend people check this out. I think it's just a wonderful time. There's a really wonderful moment, speaking of his career and movies that we've talked about, where he reflects on filming Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with John Candy. Mm-hmm. And he tells a story about the making of that movie, and a really wonderful story about John Candy. And I don't want to spoil it for people, but it's a really mm-hmm. beautiful moment. Just check it out. It's on Apple TV Plus. It's about 3 hours, but there is an intermission between part one and part two. So there you go. Yeah.
There you go. You can get a drink. All right.
Yep. That is the best thing I watched this week. So there you go.
Nothing sticks out to me as the best thing I watched this week. So I don't know. I guess I'll give a shout out. Do I want to go old or new? Brennan, old or new for my shout out?
Old, because I went new.
Oh, all right. Cool.
you didn't really want to go old.
So yeah, I don't care. The movie is old. No,
why do you even ask?
We did old on this podcast once. Oh, time. No, I don't know. I feel like there's nothing that's like really stands out. So I'm just going to go with a 1940 movie that I watched. I'm catching up on Criterion Challenge finally. So I watched, this was on one of the lists that they have, as Foreign Correspondent. It is a Hitchcock movie that I know, Brendan, you really, really liked.
I really liked it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it was super interesting to watch. It was very interesting to watch, like looking up kind of what time and place we were in terms of World War II starting and when this movie came out. Like the quick turnaround on this movie coming out and being so timely, I think was like one of the most interesting aspects of it. And that it is not just like a spy thriller, but it's also about the media and about a reporter, you know, literally our foreign correspondent who's over in Europe, and just has like an ending that kind of knocks your socks off a little bit before the movie ends. So very dark movie, and a lot different than a lot of the other Hitchcock movies I've seen. Although
also really funny. Like, I think I laughed more in Foreign Correspondent than I ever have in any Hitchcock movie. Yeah, from the first like 20 minutes of North by Northwest.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, it did remind me of North by Northwest quite a bit.
There's a lot of similar imagery.
Just like the man on the run element of it. Like, it's
and the windmill.
It does have some, like, tense scenes that you would expect from Hitchcock. But also, I would say, like, reminded me of 39 Steps, too.
Yes.
Which came out earlier than this, although North by Northwest was after Foreign Correspondent.
Yes, it was. Yeah, 50s.
But yeah, just to see a movie that was, And it's aged really well, too, because you can look back on it. But I do think, like, just looking up kind of where we were in history when this movie came out, I think is what really, like, it made it kind of that, like, full experience. And I think also, like, kind of ties a little bit into, as we're going to talk about Truman Show, like, where the world of TV was and where the world of TV has gone since 1998. I think, you know, this wasn't, like, a knockout great movie for me. Like, it definitely dragged a little bit, but I think in general it's one I would recommend. And, you know, I think, like, if you're a history buff, you'd probably like it more than me, because I'm, like, not as much of a history buff, so I had to do a little bit of research on my own.
Yeah, for sure. And I really enjoyed it. I think that you hit on the nail on the head with the time and place that the movie came out in 1940, when we're on the verge of World War II. War has been declared, you know, Germany has invaded Poland. The U.S. hasn't entered the war yet, and so there's a lot of commentary on that aspect of it, because the titular foreign correspondent is an American reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's set there to investigate and find out, like, exactly how serious this coming threat of fascism and the Nazi regime truly is, and it gets real crazy real fast.
Looking at the I was just looking at the Oscars, because I did see that both For a Correspondent and Rebecca, so two Hitchcock movies, were both up for Best Picture that year.
Incredible.
Also, I see that The Great Dictator was up that year too, so like another
Rebecca,
one, like,
Rebecca won, right?
Yes, Rebecca won.
That's what I thought.
Great Dictator, though, very much like a timely,
yes,
you know, much like Foreign Correspondent, like The Great Dictator coming out in 1940 as well. I think it's kind of interesting to see that on this list, as well as The Philadelphia Story, which we've done on this podcast.
Love that movie too.
Knocking out my movies from the 13th Academy Awards.
Yeah, you got to get as many 1940s movies in as you can now before the 40s madness next year.
Only 11 months to get that
in. Yep, exactly.
So. All right, well, speaking of time and being prescient, we revisited The Truman Show this week.
We did.
From 1998, is directed by Peter Weir, stars Jim Carrey. So we are circling back, as we've done a lot on this podcast, we're circling back a few weeks to Jim Carrey back from about a month ago when we did Eternal Sunshine.
Eternal Sunshine,
And I think Eternal Sunshine, this could have definitely been a connection.
It's surprising we didn't choose this after Eternal Sunshine, because there are so many connections to Eternal Sunshine and Spotless Mind, just, you know, visually to this movie.
And shout out to Robbie. He suggested this off of Eternal Sunshine back on episode 218. Did make the finals, although it lost to Poor Things.
I have no regrets about that.
No. Other times this movie's come up. Way back, episode 31, I suggested it off of Witness. I do not know. Oh, is
Peter Weir? It's Peter Weir. Peter Witness.
Yes. This one I don't know. Back to the Future. Brennan, you suggested this.
Yes, because of the time, because of the 1950s aesthetic of the town Truman is living in, with the time loop and the
Stefan suggested it off of The Hours, because Ed Harris. It also came up off The Right Stuff. Our guest host Marissa suggested it off of that. Peggy Sue Got Married, I suggested it. Just running through these real quick. Pollock, you suggested it for Ed Harris. This one's come up a lot. You suggested it off The Running Man last year. Again, that TV aspect.
I wrote that down as my movie map.
There you go.
Spoiler for the movie map. I nailed it.
You are.
Do consistent. I get an extra point for that?
No,
for accidentally writing it down as my movie map without realizing that it was my
connection? Yeah, you can have a life point. I suggested it off of Barbie. And which I guess is just kind of that, again, like living in a bubble world.
Living in a bubble world. Fake world.
Living in a Barbie world. And then, of course, last week, Pleasantville, Robbie suggested it. Jim suggested it.
Speaking of which, I think we have our title connection, Trumanville, right off the bat.
Trumanville. Okay.
We're going to call it Trumanville.
Okay. I didn't really have a decent title connection, so I'm sure that's fine. Although I was just thinking, like, once again, we're going back inside the TV in both of these movies. Also, both in 1998. We're doing this episode totally backwards. Both movies take place in 1988. Also, the Dumb and Dumber pairing. Last week, we had Jeff Daniels in a movie, week we have Jim Carrey in a movie.
Or we could just go with Truman, it's TV. Because that's what the guy says when he pops out of the box, and he's like, Truman, it's
TV! Oh, yeah, the Christmas Christmas gift guy. This movie obviously has come up a lot. Obviously, has lots of connections to other movies that we've done. Brennan, when was the last time you revisited the Truman Show?
Oh, geez. When was the last time I revisited? Hard to say.
All right, maybe too specific.
I feel like there was a retrospective that Film Spotting, which always comes up. Film Spotting, I think, did an anniversary podcast on this, maybe for the 15-year anniversary, and okay. I probably rewatched it then when they did that. That would have been around 2013. So,
oh, look at you,
I probably watched it. I probably watched it at that same time. Would have been one of my early Film Spotting podcasts, but I really adore this movie. I think that the performances are really fantastic. I mean, it's weird that Noah Emmerich like isn't a bigger that guy movie star.
He seems like he is.
Yeah, he really should be. Like, I mean, 10, 12 years after this, is when he gets his next really big role as the next door neighbor Stan Beeman in The Americans. And that's going to sustain him for 7 or 8 years in, you know, the mid-2000s when he's doing The Americans with Matthew Rhys. And that's a really fantastic show. And he's great in it. But, like, it's weird that there's this gap because I think he's so good in this movie as Truman's best friend slash the, like, beleaguered, struggling co-star who's been doing this, like, all of his adult life.
And so he's your come with guy of this movie.
He's my come with guy. I think he's really fantastic in this. And I know that we're gonna get into this in feedback, but you have to remember that this is 1998 Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. This is his first go at trying to do something a little more serious.
Yep.
And so a lot of people came into this movie expecting wild, crazy guy Jim Carrey, who, you know, Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, like, crazy ass Jim Carrey, and there's not a lot of that in this film outside of the scene where he kidnaps his wife in the car and drives all throughout town.
Yeah.
So what did you think going into this?
So I can't remember the last time I saw this. I do have a very specific memory of seeing this movie when I was in middle school with some friends.
Gotcha.
And I will definitely get into that because I think that like what I love so much about this movie is like the paradigm shift that the character goes through. And this was like the first time that I was ever, that I ever encountered that term paradigm shift, which is just like where your whole worldview changes. We've had paradigm shifts the last couple weeks, right? Like we had paradigm shift, maybe not as much in Pleasantville, but definitely in Barbie.
Definitely in Poor Things. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you're just, your whole world is like what you thought you knew.
Well, everybody in Pleasantville was going through a paradigm shift because they're getting blown out of their routines by Bud and Mary Sue.
Yeah.
So
this was the first movie that introduced me to paradigm shift, which I know, you know, like the next year, Matrix is another one that is all about a paradigm shift. Yep. And so I don't remember the last time I saw this, but this time I really clued in on kind of like, there's so much to discuss about this movie for me that is not actually the movie itself and not the movie mechanics, but it's just like the philosophy of the Truman Show.
Yeah.
And so I clued in a lot on that. I clued in also a lot on like the practicality of this. And that's the stuff that kind of knocks it down for me. Cause I'm like, well, how
I had a lot of practicality questions about this film as I was watching it this time that probably look like glossed over me every time I've watched it outside of having to think about it.
Because it's like, well, how did we get to day 10,909, which is where we start in this movie, without, like, and, like, there's certain things that almost, like, it was a paradigm shift for me watching this movie.
Right.
And the one question that I kept coming back to is, like, there are so many things in this that operate the same way as things in the real world, like the look of everything and some of the way the characters behave and, like, the way Truman is raised. He's raised similar to how things operate in the real world.
Of course.
And there's actually no reason for that. Like the Christoph character, which like his name is Christ.
Yeah.
And he is our God figure in this, right?
Yeah.
He, you know, once again, going back to Poor Things, that we have our God figure who controls God, everything. Yeah. That like Christoph could have changed any, like to make things more convenient and easier to manipulate Truman, which he definitely did some of that. But there's even more that I feel like there's just stuff that happens in this. The way that this world is set up, like they kind of set themselves up to fail.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, is I think that it almost seems like he subconsciously starts to blow up his own experiment towards the end, because he allows Truman's dad, who had died when he was a kid, to come back on the set.
Well, he didn't allow him. He broke onto the set.
I mean, the second time. And then, like, he allows Truman, because we see that the camera sees him cutting out all of these magazine photos to recreate the face of Sylvia. What was her name? Sylvia?
Yeah, I think it is Sylvia.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, to recreate the face. And, like, they could have intervened and stopped that at any time. So the really interesting thing that this film is struggling with is that question of free will and how far do you let free will go,
and that
before
I think
there
like
are consequences
film.
And
yeah, I think that's like from a film perspective, like right. Not from the filmmakers within this movie. Let's again, we're talking about the movie world versus like the outside,
right?
Like the Peter Weir world, like Peter Weir.
No, I'm talking about it from the Christoph thing. Like, how far do you let Truman's free will go before you intervene? Because we see numerous times they intervene in different ways,
but not always.
And so it's like, I think that I needed a little more clarity on what that line is.
Yeah, I think there's a couple ways this movie could be different. Like, I was thinking, like, what if this, when I was watching this, and this is, again, like a totally different movie than what this movie is. Yeah. But what if this was like the M. Night Shyamalan version of The Truman Show? And you're watching this world and weird things are happening and you're watching it completely from Truman's perspective. And you don't know, like, you don't know that he's on a TV show. And right. It could be like a reveal at the end. And that would be, I mean, again, that's a totally different movie.
There is a movie that's like that, and I don't know what it is. There are some movies that are like that, but I can't, like, think of them. But there are movies where that's the concept, where the whole time you don't realize that you're watching, like, a character.
Yeah, and I think, like, so I was thinking about that a little bit. And I was also, some of the practicality stuff, like, I think of just the suspensions of disbelief that you have to have. Because, like, there's no way that Truman could have gone 30 years without picking up on some of these things, and then
the fact
suddenly
that nobody ever
picking
leaves the town and can't
I don't know, maybe it's that, like, suddenly something clicks, right? It's kind of like that mentality that you have sometimes where you are seeing things from one perspective and then all of a sudden you have that paradigm shift and somebody suggests something or somebody says something and it just makes it click.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, this is off. And I never realized it.
Right. Well, what are the other parts about this film that really makes it work? And 2 years later, it wouldn't, is the time and place that it was made. Like, you have to think about it. Like, this is very early internet. So they were able to create a world where cell phones don't have to be in it. Computers don't have to be in it, aside from the travel agent. Like, there's no technology that ruins the concept of this experiment. And so 5 years later, you couldn't make this film realistically and set it in the present day. Like, this is set in 1998.
Why does it have to be set in the present day, though? Because it's Truman who's living this world. Like, it doesn't have to. This movie could be like Westworld, where Truman lives in the old West. I mean, he doesn't know what the outside world is like.
Right. Or like you said, an M. Night Shyamalan situation that happens in one or two of his films, you know, that are very, but yeah, the point I'm trying to make is, like, it's very realistic to also the way people lived in an earlier age before the convenience of technology and the convenience of travel, because people did stay in their small towns. Not everyone traveled to all these amazing foreign destinations all the time. A lot, like, and it also does a really great job exploring how, as an adult, we can get stuck in our routines and our ruts. And it takes, like you said, it just takes one paradigm shift to sort of get us out of that mentality. Like, there are people I know who just, like, go to work every day. They come home, they watch the same thing, they go to bed. They don't do things outside of that. Because that's their routine, and that they're comfortable in it. But something, anything, like, this is about disruption of your routine. And I think that's a really interesting idea, you know, because not, like, it's an interesting philosophical idea, because not everyone is willing to let that kind of change happen to them. And I like that Truman embraces it rather than fighting against the change.
What I really like too is that with Truman, that character development that I didn't pick up on the last time I saw it is that he talks when he's a kid, and they show the different flashbacks of his life, which I really like that they do that in the way that they show that, right? Like they put him in the corner, like they put like the live feed of Truman in the corner, and they do like a prepared video package that catches the viewer, us as the viewer, up on Truman's backstory, his flashbacks. And they had the one where he was a kid and he was talking about how he wants to be an explorer.
And she's like, oh, you're too bad. The whole world's like, already been discovered.
Everything's already explored. But so it sets the stage that like, and it made me, again, like from a philosophical perspective with this movie, it made me think about like nature versus nurture. Like does Truman, like why does Truman, with no outside interference, decide he wants to be an explorer? And like, what is causing that, right? What is causing
it's
that innate
the subconscious thing in your head that like the one thing you can't do is the thing that you want to do.
And so he wants to be an explorer. And then that ties into the scene with him that I referenced earlier where he draws the space helmet on himself. Yeah. And that's like he's exploring space, especially when we get like he lives in this biodome and he's got the man in the moon. Also referencing another title, movie title, but he's got Christoph in the moon who controls him, like to have those kind of like space, like he basically lives on another planet.
Yeah.
He thinks like his fantasy is to draw this space helmet of himself. And he just wants to escape. And like, so you get that, like he wants to see Fiji, right? Like, why did they say Fiji? Why did the guy say Fiji instead of saying like any other place?
Yeah.
Right. I guess what I'm getting at is that I just like that development of like Truman wants to know what else is out there. And like, if Truman was never on the Truman Show, would he have wanted to be an astronaut? Would he have always wanted to explore outside of his own world, even if he wasn't on a TV show set? Yeah.
Maybe he'd be working in insurance in the outside world and going home and watching the Truman Show every night, whoever the actual Truman was, you know?
They
picked like they had like a crop of five babies and Truman was the one that they ended up using, like
random selection, like random again selection, like, like to go back to one of our earliest movies, like Sliding Doors, that Truman, like that this baby was selected instead of any of these other babies that could have been selected, and that like the little bits that we get of the outside world, that we get like the guy in the bathtub and we get the bar full of people who like
I
Truman
have questions
bar.
About that guy in the bathtub, like because he's in that bathtub skin? For days.
Yeah.
Days, yeah. My friend.
Do you know who the actor who plays that guy is?
No, I don't.
He played Napoleon in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Did he really? Uh-huh. That's incredible. Okay, yeah. I love it. I love it him, man. No comment. No further comment.
Terry Cimolari, that is the name of that actor. So,
no further comment then.
Yeah. I have a structural question for you, and I just couldn't remember it as I was watching because I wasn't paying enough attention early on and I didn't get a chance to go back.
Yes.
Do we not meet Christoph until like an hour into the movie? Or do we meet him?
We meet him at the very beginning when he sets up the premise.
Okay.
And then he comes back when they interview him about halfway through the movie.
Yeah, because like halfway through the movie, and it's almost like we get like our intermission, right? Where we get all of this setup where Truman starts to notice like things around him are off, starting with that light that falls.
The light that falls, yeah.
And then, you know, he picks up the radio signal and he starts like, it's like all of a sudden his
and then the thing with the elevator and
maybe we're gonna do the Matrix this week, but like he took the was it the red pill or the blue pill? I can't remember.
Well, the light is blue, so he took the blue light pill.
Yeah, all right,
so he took the light blue pill.
There you go, he took the light. Save that for your title connection next week. It's like when that light drops, it's kind of like that's where he takes the pill. Yeah. And all of a sudden, then he starts noticing all of these little things.
Exactly.
From another
just go around and around.
Yeah. From another practical perspective.
Yes.
The actors on this show, like you are really signing up for a like more than full-time job.
I have a lot of questions about the actors they get because people are going to have to come and go. Are people not allowed to have any other jobs outside of being in the Truman Show?
I would say any other lives outside of being in the Truman Show.
Because their jobs are literally to get up at 5 a.m. and stand there in places for the start of day. And then, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me because, like, you can't predict that he's going to – is he that into his routine that he he's always waking up at the exact same time. He's always leaving at the exact same time. He's always driving at the exact same time.
I think that he is encouraged by the other people in his life to
stay in this pattern,
to stay in the loop. And I think like that's where this movie works better, as like an allegory and a like philosophical experiment than like when you start breaking down the like, how did we get 10,000 days of this happening these things happening? Like, it would almost make more sense if he was a robot and they were all robots and they didn't realize instead of being a person.
Like a Westworld.
Yeah, like very much a loop. Which is interesting considering Ed Harris is in both properties.
For sure. Oh my God, I didn't even think about that. Good point.
But I don't know. This is just one of those movies where, like, I know that I am poking at some of these things, but I actually don't care about.
I don't want to know the answers. I'm just like, I see the pokiness, and I think the movie wants you to poke at it a little bit, and then dismiss it, like not care, because I do think that this movie holds up really, really well as that allegory you were talking about
of like discovery, right?
Yeah, of discovery.
Of reaching, willing
to take risks.
Like the image from this movie that I think about a lot is the image of the boat hitting the wall.
Yes,
and it's like Truman reaches the edge of his world at the end of this movie.
And he's unsure whether or not to step off the boat and if he can even walk on the ground to like get out of it. Like he's
right. I mean, it's a big decision, right? He could, he's reached the end of the world. He's hearing the literal, I mean, and maybe it's a little, like, it's a little on the nose, a little over the top that he's hearing
the voice of God.
The voice of God, like coming through the clouds, through the sunshine. Like, it is so, I mean, it is very heavy handed that his name is Christoph. It's like, okay, yes, we, like, the metaphor is very much on the nose, but I don't know. I didn't mind how on the nose that was.
Well, here's the thing is that I think that it works because it's enough on the nose that there's a whole like subset of I don't know quite how to categorize it, but of people like walking around after this film going, anytime something weird would happen, being like, am I in a Truman Show?
Yes.
Am I the star of my own TV show? Like, so what is happening? Like
that is the memory I have from seeing this movie. I remember the exact movie theater I saw it at. I remember my two middle school friends, who I'm not friends with either. I mean, I'm not friends with them, but I'm not in touch with either of these two guys anymore. But I remember we went to this movie and we walked out. We went to a movie theater in the mall. And this is, I'm in, I think, eighth grade, 98. So, I would have been in eighth grade. Maybe ninth grade.
I was a senior in 98.
What was the date when this came out? Was this summer?
June 98, I believe. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would have been summer between eighth grade and ninth grade.
Wow, look at you.
No. I'm seventh and eighth grade. Seventh and eighth grade. That's what, there
we go. Child.
I know. And we're at the mall. We go to this movie. We're walking out. And they were just like teasing me. They're like, oh, yeah, you're in a Truman Show. Like, this is all. And it's like that, like, you live in a simulation, which has become like a thing.
Exactly. Like, it's Black Mirror. I mean, but it's like,
if you really lived in this kind of like simulated world, or like you were an actor and everybody around you, and sometimes I think about that. I'm like, what if I'm the only person who exists and everybody else is like main character syndrome? Isn't that
called? That's what I was about to say. There is now a syndrome that was not coined at the time called main character syndrome, where people walk around thinking that basically they are the star of their own. It's an ego thing where they're like the main character in their own play, and everyone else around them is just tangential to them.
Yeah.
It's like, that's
when I think even from like, if you're like a religious person and you think like that God is always watching everything that you do. And, you know, it's like the same concept of like, you know, I was thinking about Truman's, like anytime Truman wants any privacy in his entire life, like he's married. They talk about having kids, like him and his wife, I would assume have had sex.
Like, he seems to be sleeping in that basement an awful lot.
Well, they talk about having kids and they've been married. I mean, and
she wants kids because Christoph says in his interview, he promised the first on air conception of a child.
Okay. So they were going to air the sex then.
Yeah. They were totally.
And I don't know what is the name of it? So Hannah is that her actress name or is that her, his wife?
Hannah's the actress name.
Okay. Yes, oh, Meryl is his wife. Yeah.
Meryl's his wife.
So like, Hannah is the actress who, like, at one point, like, she finally, like, what does she do? She, like, she quits the game, right? She self-evicts at the end when he goes crazy. But, you know, did Hannah sign up, like, she's going to be an actress in this show? And, oh, hey, as his wife, at some point, you're going to have sex with him.
Right. And it's like, wait, Yeah, so, I mean, she like, gets real upset and is like, this is so unprofessional.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I mean, and talk about unprofessional. She's the one who, like, her comment when he does is he takes the little, like, peeler dicer thing and puts it up to her neck, and she's like, how can
do
people...
She says, do something.
Yeah, do something. How can
she
people
says
be
it
forced
into the
to,
cameras,
like,
yeah.
to, like, live in this kind of conditions or something like that?
Yeah. Unprofessional, yeah.
Yeah, so she broke character there.
She broke character big time, multiple times, yeah. But, I mean, at the same time, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, you're dealing with this person who, up until this point, has been completely predictable and hasn't questioned a single weird thing you said, and suddenly, one day, they have completely flipped and are a brand new person, and you don't know how to deal with them. Like, in her eyes, this character, Truman, is basically having a psychotic break.
Yeah.
I think she really does.
But it's completely but from our perspective, knowing what he's been through, like, it's totally rational. He'd be like, wait a second, like, this isn't, like, there's something weird going on here. I want to know what's going on. And I think this movie is just such a good connection, not just to Pleasantville, but I thought so much about Poor Things.
Yes,
and like
absolutely.
That, like, Bella lives she's like, her beginning part of her life is in that, is living in this house, and she never leaves the house.
And all she wants to do is go outside.
And then she finally gets outside and gets to see, like, it's almost like if we saw what happens after Truman gets out of the bubble,
right.
Which I'm really glad we don't, but that's kind of like the second half of Poor Things. So, this gave you an idea. Yeah.
Yeah, it did. Actually,
this is a movie that the way this movie ends with, like, Truman delivers that great catchphrase, his, like, good afternoon, good evening, good night catchphrase.
Yes.
And then he leaves. And, like, that is the end of the movie. There might have been a little bit after that, but, like,
no, there's nothing.
We don't see.
You see what's her name, Sylvia, going running down the stairs, and that's it.
So,
but yeah, I mean, it's.
She's running down the stairs. She's running to the door to run to the
studio. Yeah,
to the studio. They had a name for it, but I don't remember what they called it. The from outside the Big Brother house. I'm Christoph.
Yeah, exactly. The Big Brother house. Yeah. So is that a good transition to talk about the reality TV of it all and how this sort of inspired, or at least not technically inspired, but, like,
I think it predicted
said
more
to
than
have
anything.
Inspired certain aspects of reality TV, especially two years from now, we're going to get the debut of Big Brother on CBS.
Yeah, the American Big Brother.
The American Big Brother, which is 16 strangers in a house. Cameras watch them 24/7, and you get live feeds. You get to know what they're doing. You get to see them sleep. The only thing you don't get to do is see them, like, poop, you know? That's the one invasion.
And we did get 1 year before this in 1999.
Is the premiere of the Real World, right?
That was Real World was earlier. But I was going to say Big Brother, I said UK last week. Olin corrected me. It is the Netherlands version.
Netherlands came first.
So that started in September of 99. And that was, I don't think that, that was kind of revamped into the American Big Brother, which was then revamped after the first season into, like, the Big Brother competition that we see in season two and beyond. But yes, I don't remember when the Real World started. I think that was early 1990s, but I do think, like,
starting in 94 maybe.
Yeah. So the Real World predates this movie, so I'm sure that Truman Show is a little bit based on, like, people watching the Real World. Fascinating to me that where is the place where we said to stream Truman Show?
Oh yeah, it's
Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus, which is
also where you can watch your Survivor
reality TV.
Yeah,
your
Big Brother. Yeah,
I think Nails, your
there's I would imagine probably the Real World seasons.
They have the only streamer that has their own reality TV, like, docking channel on the main page. Is the Paramount Plus app, where you can just, I mean, Peacock might have one now with the proliferation of
Netflix have that?
But no, like, not its own doc, like its own.
But, like, Paramount Plus specifically is where that is where you go to watch the Big Brother live feed. So if you want to watch real life Truman Show, you watch it on the same platform.
It's
that we watch
ironic,
the Truman Show, you know, 20 plus years later, 26 years later after this movie came out. Like, Real World started in 1992.
Okay, so even earlier than this. Wow. Okay, so I really love that he says he wants to go to Fiji, and Fiji has been the home base of Survivor for the past 8 years. Something like that.
A long time. Yep.
6 years. Yeah.
Something.
Yep. So that's very funny. Mm-hmm. And then my other favorite nugget from this film is Zach. So you know what Truman's last name is?
Burbank.
Burbank.
Yes, I know. Which is
Burbank, California is the home to many a movie studio and TV studio. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's really clever. I mean, it's a little on the nose, but it's also kind of clever. I like mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
Yeah, I do feel like there's like very intentional names. Do you think Meryl Burbank is like Meryl Streep? Like she is the lead actress of the show, so they named her.
Yeah, she's supposed to be the Meryl Streep. Yeah, I mean she's doing Laura Linney is doing a really good job in this film. She's obviously a very talented actress to be able to like, she's got to play a character within a character this mm-hmm. entire time.
Yeah,
and which is really cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that. I like it a lot.
I also like Paul Giamatti, like an early Paul Giamatti showing up as one of the tech guys.
Yeah, he's just sort of there, which is kind of mm-hmm. cool. Yeah,
yeah. He just looks so much younger. I think speaking of looking younger, while I really like Ed Harris as Kristoff, great to see Ed Harris once again on the Movie Ladder podcast.
Yep.
I do think that if we're set to believe that this is the 30th year of this movie or of this show, right, that it's been 10,000 days.
A slightly older actor, like a Tony Hopkins.
How old is Ed Harris when this movie? Like Ed Harris can't be like, he's not even 60.
He's 60.
You think he's 60? So he's 30 years old when he's 30 year old started this show?
Yeah, probably.
It's just hard for me to buy that Ed Harris is 30 years older than Jim Carrey in this movie.
I think that's fair. I think that what I need in this film is an actual director playing Kristoff. I think I needed like a very old time director, but I can't think of somebody who would have been good in 1998 where it would have aged well. You know what I mean?
What about Rob Reiner? I feel like Rob Reiner is both an actor and a director.
Not serious enough. He's not a serious enough actor. The other part that, or I would have cast, like, to continue the Westworld connection, I would have cast Anthony Hopkins.
Okay. Yeah, Anthony. I think he would seem more too menacing, I would worry.
Maybe.
I would just be thinking too much of a Hannibal Lecter. I almost wonder if, like, the best person, I'm going to mention The Matrix again, but the guy who plays the architect in The Matrix.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
He looks like the embodiment of a god character.
You get Richard Attenborough from Jurassic mm-hmm. Park.
Yeah, that's
because he's also a well-known director.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, you know, you get the best of both worlds with him.
And you get that kind of, like, he already played God 4 years earlier in Jurassic Park.
Yep.
So, I just feel like this is a movie that while it has some flaws, to me, it works. What it does well, it does so well.
I agree.
And the eeriness and like seeing things from Truman's perspective, but then also seeing things from the Kristoff perspective, seeing things from the outside audience perspective, right? That you have this bar that has the running day counter of how long they've been showing this, how long they've been showing the show. And then you see people react to like when it goes off. The same patrons are there
night after night watching this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like very much feels like the Cheers bar.
Yeah, for sure.
Both the Cheers bar on TV, but also the one you can actually go visit in Boston.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They sell merchandise. I did think it was mm-hmm. interesting that they have red and white hats that they sell that start with TR. And I was TRU. And I was like, oh, my God, that kind of reminds me of Trump hats for whatever reason. So, I think like you talked about it with Foreign Correspondent, but there are actually funny moments in this pretty serious and dark movie.
I think so, too. I really love the use of a young, unknown, good-looking actor named Peter Krause, who a couple years from now is going to go on to star on 6 Feet Under as Truman's co-worker, who actually doesn't get a name as his actor self, but the character is Lawrence. The character in the Truman Show that he's playing is Lawrence.
He's just in, like, that one scene.
He's in a couple of scenes. Every time Truman's at the office, he's there. And I think that he's really great. I didn't remember him, obviously, being in it before I watched 6 Feet Under. And then when I saw his name in the credits, after having watched 6 Feet Under for the last couple of months, I was like, oh, it's Peter Krause.
At first, I thought it was Horn Room's glasses guy from Heroes.
He does look a little similar.
Yeah. He does look like him.
I know what you're talking about.
This
is our second random Philip Baker Hall, mm-hmm. where he's just there in the background.
Yeah, well, he's a studio executive.
He's Christoph's boss, the studio executive. And what was the other movie we had that had random Philip Baker Hall, where he was just there?
Good question. I do feel like we just watched him in something.
Maybe it wasn't for the podcast, but we just watched him for something.
So the three movies that we've seen him in Boogie Nights, Magnolia, and then Truman Show for this podcast.
Okay, so it was something not for the podcast. It was something we were watching separately.
Oh, Midnight Run. That was it.
Midnight Run. Yeah, that's right. Because you have the casino in Midnight Run, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So, Four Timers Club for Philip Baker Hall.
Philip Baker Hall. So close.
And I think maybe that would alleviate my concerns about age is if Philip Baker Hall was the initial showrunner of The Truman Show, and that at some point he passed it on to Christoph.
Yeah.
And if we want to continue the metaphor, Philip Baker Hall, if his name, if he was Godwin and he's God and he passes it on, his son is Christoph.
That's cute. That's real. I like that. That's actually
really good. Maybe that's what happened.
Man, punch it up, Brooks.
Also, I did just want to note that we have composer Philip Glass.
Yes.
So we've had him in The Hours. And I don't know if we've had him in anything else in this podcast, but he's the composer of this movie. He does the score. Mm-hmm. And he also plays the keyboardist so when they show the keyboardist, we have the scene where Christoph is saying, all right, zoom in, zoom out. Zoom in. He's being the director, right?
Cue the music.
Cue the music. And they show the keyboard artist. That is the actual composer of this film.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Nice.
I like that. I also laughed at some of the things I laughed at. I when he goes to the travel agent's office and they show on the wall all of the scary, this could happen to you.
Yeah, the scary posters. Yeah.
Yeah, like
the things that would never actually be on the wall of a travel agent's.
Right. Yeah. All things to that they probably had to build that set when Truman said he was going to go see the travel agent.
Right, and exactly. That's sort of the suspension of disbelief. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the suspension of disbelief you have to have with this film as well, is that that there hasn't been a travel agency ahead of time, or if there was one that it had those posters the entire time, mm-hmm. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
How much, I think the biggest suspension
that's a question I
have to have is that they have Truman on camera at all times, right?
Yeah.
So they should, even if it's not what's airing on TV, the directors and producers of this show should always know what Truman is going to do next.
Yeah,
and maybe they just get complacent because he lives in such a routine every day. What is he doing? If he does live in this routine, how is that really that interesting TV for people watching? If he's doing the same thing every day, he's just this guy gets up, he says the same catchphrase.
Well, we say the same thing about some of the reality TV we watch. People just do the same thing on these shows every time.
But we have we have a really good showrunner and director who makes it interesting for us.
Maybe.
I don't know if it's more interesting to watch now, but it's definitely this movie was so prescient in the way that people consume, people who watch the live feeds, right? There are people who have the Big Brother live feeds on all the time.
For sure.
And although those go to graphic a lot more than Truman does.
The Truman
Show goes to graphic once. And Big Brother live feeds go to Fish a lot.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else you got before we get into the box office?
I did like Christoph and his spoiler where he says that Meryl will be leaving Truman soon. I was like, why are you spoiling
the show?
Yeah, don't spoil your big twist.
I guess
for the Truman
and
show
that he would be and that he would be introducing a new love interest, and it's like, mm-hmm. come on, man.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
And that part kind of reminded me of while this is a lot about reality TV and where reality TV is going to go,
a revolutionary road too.
It reminded me of soap operas.
Oh yeah, right? For sure.
And a lot of the way this is filmed and the music and that they make Truman's life into a soap opera, right? Mm-hmm. And that his dad is coming back, and we're going to explain it through Amnesia, which is a popular soap opera trope. Yeah,
a trope opera.
His wife is going to leave him, and he's going to have a new love interest. That's all soap. It's really commenting on soap operas as well.
It really is.
Soap operas are never-ending shows that people watch. People watch soap operas for 10,000 days, including one of our most common guests on this podcast, loves soap operas.
Wrestling is basically a soap opera.
True.
You're watching all these crazy people come and go with their crazy storylines about, you know, marriage and divorce, and you dragged my mother into the ring, and, you know, it's like all these crazy soap opera dynamics to feed these storylines, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's, you know, not too far from that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the last thing I want to talk about is, we haven't talked too much about it, but like the product placement, right?
That is where we get the 1950s sort of aesthetic, because the way Laura Linney is playing it is the way that they used to incorporate ad reads into sitcoms in the 1950s and 60s, where a character would be holding a box of detergent or coffee or whatever and say to the camera what the product is, but also be in the scene with whoever they were talking to on the show. So it's very, like, she's playing it like she's an actress in the 1950s. So that's
suddenly this movie, Truman realizes, like, why are you talking about this
talking
knife?
To nobody, yeah.
Yeah, like, who are you talking to? But this is all he knows. This is the way it's always been. So I don't, I know that we're supposed to just, like, assume that Truman has had this, like, change of perspective.
Yeah.
But in reality, this should be what he's used to. It shouldn't raise any alarm bells. Like, why does this raise alarm bells versus, like,
because he's already questioning everything, and that's the point. I mean, well, and when she does the coffee thing in the middle of their argument, that is the thing that triggers him, because she does the coffee thing when they're in, for no reason at all, when they're in the middle of an argument.
Well, probably because they probably have some sort of somebody time. They have to do an ad.
Somebody probably cued her to do that.
Right. Yeah. But and he's also clued in earlier than that when he's gardening and she talks about the knife ends up Chekhov's knife. That kind of gets me to my, like, again, suspension of disbelief with this movie. But, like, they are so sloppy. Like, how do they leave the door open behind the elevator?
It doesn't make a lot of sense, like, because he's supposed to never go in there. And what I really love is the so we get these two scenes with the random bus driver. So Truman tries to go to Chicago, and he can't get to Chicago because the bus breaks down. And then we see the same actor later when Truman is out at sea, and he, quote-unquote, can't get the boat to work because he's just a bus driver. Mm-hmm. And what I love about that moment is you can believe that that's the truth, that he can't operate the boat, or that he does that on purpose. Because he wants Truman to be able to get away. Because remember what he says to him on the bus is, sorry. I'm sorry, kid.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't his choice to have the bus break down.
Mm-hmm.
So he's being told to do that. Mm-hmm. And so you could see him struggling with that decision. So when he gets the opportunity to not interfere with Truman later, the boat suddenly doesn't work.
Oh, interesting. I like that read. I do love when the bus doesn't work. And all of the actors that are on the bus, like, immediately just, like, nobody behaves the way a human would if their bus broke down. They're just following their orders.
They do that all the time, and that's their strict rule, is nobody reacts in the way they should to anything Truman does for a lot of this film, because they're told not to react and not to interact with him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Except the cop who
says, no problem, Truman. Yeah, right. When they're out at the, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I just think, like, this is a very good level of weirdness things being off. And, you know, I probably give this movie a pass on a lot of the, like, plot holes that are in it. And I think you could ask how or why on a lot of this movie. For a movie about discovery and a character, like, learning about a world that they did not know existed. And Barbie also, to that extent.
Yeah, I agree.
I think this fits, and it's like, definitely can tie to so many of the movies, at least that we've done, you know, the last couple months, since Revolutionary Road. I think that it's good. And I do think, like, you know, there's lots of connections. We already talked about a lot of them.
The whole perfect marriage thing and that dissolving in this utopia is big Revolutionary Road energy.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into anything before we get into Doc's office and.
Nothing for that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. So weekend of June 5th, 1998. Yep. I wish I could tell you if I went opening weekend or not, but I know I saw them in theaters.
I probably did. I mean, what was I doing? It was. Let's see, that was the summer between my junior and senior year of high school. So yeah, I was going to the movies a lot that summer.
Nice.
So,
yeah. All right. Well, this
and
one
a lot of and a lot of poolside parties with friends. Oh, so, yeah.
Put this one on the poolside. All right. Well, yes, this opened at number one that week.
Yep.
The other big release was A Perfect Murder.
Yep.
Which is, I believe it's a Hitchcock remake of Dilemma for Murder.
Yes.
With, I think it's Michael Douglas and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow, Michael Douglas, and Viggo.
Viggo, yes.
Viggo Mortensen, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
It's Viggo.
Yes. So that was, and this movie knocked out of the number one spot Godzilla, which yep. I've one of the few Roland Emmerich movies I haven't seen.
Yes.
Godzilla.
It's a very bad Godzilla.
So, yeah. Also, speaking of disaster movies, we had, I guess this is the summer, we had Deep Impact at number five.
Yep.
And a movie that we've already covered on this podcast at number eight, in its 25th week of release, that is Titanic. Speaking of disasters.
Wow. What a disaster. Mm-hmm. What a disaster that movie was, huh?
Oh, there you go. Yeah. But nothing else that we've done on this podcast. Almost Heroes was in theaters as well.
Man, R.I.P. Chris Farley.
And Matthew Perry.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
Yep. All right. Well, let's get into feedback. Kick things off with Robbie. And did I say it was Robbie and Jim were the two people who suggested this movie last week?
You may have said that. I don't recall.
I did say it, and I will tell you in just a second. All right. Robbie kicks things off, and he says, this is a first-time watch for me. Oh, awesome. I'm glad that we gave Robbie an excuse to watch this. He said, I really enjoyed it, thought it was really good, but some friends have told me it's one of their favorite movies, and I just thought it was a really good movie, nothing life-changing. All right, well, life's changed for Truman.
I think this is a good revisit movie.
Yeah, it definitely makes me feel different about watching Big Brother now, though. 4 stars.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, what I would say, Robbie, is take some time away from this and come back and revisit it in a couple of years once you've had those expectations melt away of somebody saying it's their favorite movie, because I think that that's fair, but I think that this is like that type of movie that can get so overhyped that I can understand why you're let down by it a little bit.
I mean, this is one I immediately thought was amazing when I first saw it.
Yeah.
And so I was probably one of those friends who was saying it's one of my favorite movies ever. I mean, I do believe this was in, you know, back a long time ago, 32 Fans did top 100 movies since 1991.
Yes.
And people submitted their lists. And I did have this movie on my list. I believe it was, let's see, I just pulled it up and I had it. I mean, my list has changed a lot since then, but I had this at number 36
on
my
list. Okay.
Between X-Men First Class and Contact. So, way back in 2017.
I think this one can move up from those two at least.
Who knows? I don't know. It's
and X-Men First Class is really good.
I've seen a lot of movies since 1991. And since 2017. All right.
Yeah,
well, that was 4 stars for Robbie. I'm glad Robbie gave himself an excuse to see it, because it was Robbie and Jim who suggested this last week. So. Good suggestion, one that's come up a lot. I'm glad we got a chance to talk about it finally.
Yeah, for sure. Travis Redson as well. It says, as a reality TV fan, I absolutely love this movie. I thought Carrie and Harris were phenomenal, and the script and concept was intriguing. 4.5 stars from Travis.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah. No, I think like, it's interesting. We've talked so much about this as like a reality TV parable, but I think it just got so many, it's got connections to so many other things we've said, like religion, soap operas, wrestling,
philosophy, like,
I think just like philosophy. I think like also looking at it, like you brought it up a little bit, but looking at like the first foray of Jim Carrey not being Ace Ventura, the mask,
for sure.
Dumb and Dumber, cable guy, like wacky. What was he?
Over the top. The show. Yeah. Liar, liar. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the show that he was on, though?
Living Color.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Being that guy.
All right.
Got an email from Olin next, and he says, rare film I saw at the cinema. Only knew it was a Jim Carrey film going in and spent ages waiting for him to pull a funny face.
See?
Rewatch now, can admire it, but didn't really enjoy it until Ed Harris and to a lesser extent Paul Giamatti came more to the fore in the final third. At least it set up the great image of Harris and Amy Madigan sternly sitting arms folded at the Oscars with a nervous Jim Carrey awkwardly applauding but not standing when Elia Kazan got his honorary Oscar.
Now we get the explanation for that.
Yes, Olin tweeted that image at Brendan earlier this week. So
very confused.
Uh, And Olin says a couple of ladder character links. Christoph, major vibes of God, both generally and from Poor Things.
Yep.
Truman Burbank reminded me a lot of George Bailey. Desire to travel and explore beyond his small time, but everyone around him keeps manipulating so he can't escape. That, I do like that comparison. I didn't think too much about that.
Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life would have been a great connection to this film if we hadn't already done it. Yeah.
Yeah. I also think, like, physically, like, Jim Carrey is so lanky.
He's got a George Bailey thing going.
Yeah, sure. Got like a Jimmy Stewart kind of that.
We also get him in the Letterman jacket and everything, like we do the younger Jimmy Stewart pretending to be a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get Jimmy Stewart pretending to be a teenager in that, just like we do Carrey in this when they do the flashback.
Flashback to high school and meeting the wife. And that's a good point. Like
meeting Meryl,
the wife. Yeah. Like a happenstance interaction with the high school wife that ends up being her high school girlfriend that ends up being the wife. So 3 stars from Olin.
Nice. Speaking of Jim says the Truman Show did not hold up well.
Ooh.
The beginning was good, the middle dragged, and the ending was decent. Even there, the ending would have been better had they not jumped back to so many different people reacting. Let Truman have his own moment. End with him leaving camera range.
Yeah, so that was what I was asking about. I was like, I was trying to remember, did it end
move
with,
back? Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to think, like, I did go back and show, like, the audience.
It did think everybody react.
Yeah, it does make more sense to have, like, the curtain call be that Truman walks out the door, and then it's sort of like a Graduate ending where it just ends, and it's like, well, now what? Like, now he's escaped. Yeah. He's this mega celebrity. Like, what is, I'd love to, like, you do a whole podcast of, like, what is Truman's life like from the moment he walks out that door, like, the last 30 years? But I don't ever want to see that movie. I don't want to see Truman Show 2.
I agree. All right. Jim continues. While the concept is great, there's so much that doesn't hold up, especially on repeat views. For example, Christoph is not old enough. There you go, Zach.
Yeah.
Truman is supposed to be 30 in the movie, and Ed Harris is 48.
Oh, we were way off.
Wow. Okay. Even if Christoph is supposed to be 10 years older than Harris, it would make much more sense that 28-year-old could have created the show that requires a city-state to run. The social commentary of the movie, while still relevant, feels dated, though the deleted scene, future cast meeting, quote unquote, is good on this count.
Okay.
Oh, we should check that out. There's apparently a deleted scene. Overall, The Truman Show was an interesting attempt, but ultimately disappointing. 3 out of 5 from Jim as well. MVP, though, is Sylvia Natalie McElhoney.
Natasha.
I'm sorry?
Natasha, not Natalie.
Sorry, Natasha McElhoney. The only side character that had any depth. Yeah, she plays Truman's Truman's unintended love interest, who he sees across the room and falls in love with and pursues throughout the early part of this film.
Right. And she's just an actor who she's an actor they cast who is actually like anti what the, you know, she's one of these activists, like she's a human activist who's like, this.
Well, she becomes one after she gets kicked off the head.
I wasn't sure if she was.
She wasn't one beforehand. She actually had like the button that said, how will it end and everything. Like, she was a fan at the time and then turned into an anti when she got kicked off the show.
Doesn't How Will It End make you think that she was a, like, doesn't that seem like what the, like, Army of the 12 Monkeys would do?
No, because that's the question that everybody was asking. Like, that's what all the aprons that the people in the bar are wearing, too.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. So, because to me, How Will It End, which, I mean, I think How Will It End, from a philosophical discussion, is, like, a great question of, like, what happens, you know, after after the end of your life.
Well, that's, like, what Truman says when he sees the button. He's like, that's a great question, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it's really interesting.
I really like it if that button identifies her as being in the, like, anti-Truman, like, Antifa group, that, like, she was cast and she's also anti-Truman Show. And there's this whole community of people who are trying to take down this show. And that's the that's the guy in the gift box that pops out.
Right.
On all these people, the parachuter, all these people.
It needed more connections. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's an outside world that, like, we don't.
But I think it's more romantic that she's not that at first. That she actually does, like, fall for him and they fall for each other. And I think that it makes a lot of sense because it's exactly that sliding doors thing that you're talking about, where they try to force Meryl to be the person he falls in love with when you can't predict that. Like,
you can't force
set two people up on a date, but that doesn't mean that they're going to fall in love and get married. They may see the person that they really are going to fall in love with across the bar.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not. Yeah. You.
All right. Well,
so it's.
People can let us know. Do you think that that Sylvia was anti-Truman Show before she was on the Truman Show, or was this a result of her being kicked off the Truman Show, being evicted
being sent to Fiji?
Being sent to Fiji. But I do
and being accused of having a mental disorder. He says she has these kinds of episodes all the time. True, you're not the first boyfriend she's brought up here.
Mm-hmm. and them sitting on the beach, having that romantic encounter that gets interrupted, very much gave me vibes back to Eternal Sunshine.
Absolutely, yes. Especially the beach when they're going up the dude and then down the dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very much Eternal Sunshine of Scotland.
Yeah. I do think, like, you know, Jim, just join in with what I was saying, that Philip Baker Hall was the original showrunner of The Truman Show and then passed it on to Christoph, the son of God.
Punched it up.
To some people, the son of God. All right. Alex O says, an instant classic, and Jim Carrey continues to show his dramatic, comedic combination acting chops. 4 stars.
Boom. All right. Nice. Ron, equally short, says, Carrey walks a fine line between his serious acting abilities of, say, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and his over-the-top performances of Ace Ventura. Incredible that this mostly predates reality TV, too. 4 stars from Ron. So there you go.
Nice. All right. And then my brother Aaron has one of the best endings ever. So he argues with Jim on that. The rest is one of the best movies, too. Really ahead of its time. 5 stars.
Wow. Nice. Right, that's going to give us a 3.93 overall from the listeners. Niner. There you go.
Yep.
It's a niner. Yep.
All right. I will go first. Please. Yeah, I think, like, this movie is so close to being 5 stars for me just because of the stuff I really like. But I do think, like, there is just some sloppiness, intentional and unintentional, in this movie that, like, it you know, you have to suspend your disbelief. So I'm going to give it 4.5. I think it's just, like, I completely get if this doesn't work for you. I do think, like, I don't remember who it was who said, like, the middle dragged. There isn't really a story in this movie, kind of like what I said about
Pleasantville. It's a much more slice of life.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, here's a guy, and it's like the character study of, like, this guy, and he discovers his world is not as it seems. But there's no, like, beginning, middle, and end to this. And I think the structure, especially having that just, like, one episode, like, basically it's episodes of TV, right? We get the one day, or, you know, the episode of Truman Show, and then we get the interview with the director, which kind of breaks things up, and then we get the next episode, and he leaves.
Yep. Yeah,
there isn't much of a story.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, I came in here thinking the exact same thing, that this movie is so close to being a 5. Like, I got a lot of those warm fuzzies until I started thinking about the questions that we were going to pose here on the podcast about this movie. And I was like, all right, so it's not perfect, but it's so close. And I do think that all of the performances are there. Like, they, like, everybody is committed to what their role in this is. Even if they're not right for the part, like a lot of people think Ed Harris is it. He did get a Best Supporting Actor nod for this, so what the fuck do we know, you know? I mean,
I think he was good in this, I just don't think it makes sense age-wise.
But yeah, 4.5 for me as well. That's going to give us a 4.31, which is going to be high enough to go for a 4.5 overall, so there you go.
Nice. What would you think if this movie was a whole, like, maybe not the whole world of people, what if there were multiple Trumans in, like, it's not just Truman who is the star of this, but it's like the Big Brother house where there's 16 people who are all unknowingly in this
also
show.
In the loop. I think that they would get broken way faster. I don't think that you could keep up the ruse for that many people.
I think that would be an interesting social experiment, because all those people would start talking. I also think, like, there could be a version of this movie where it's way
out there. But isn't that Joe Schmo? Like, I mean, well, Joe Schmo is this, right? Where he's the only one that doesn't know he's in a reality show or something like that. Yeah.
Well, did you ever watch Jury Duty?
Oh, yeah. Duh. Yeah, it's Jury Duty. Yeah, good point. Too bad that wasn't a movie.
Jury Duty's great, yeah.
Jury Duty's so good. Not the movie Jury Duty with Pauly Shore, the show Jury Duty.
No. the second Pauly Shore movie that's come up on this podcast.
Maybe we're doing Biodome next week.
Well, and I think, like, I was thinking about it, like, when and we haven't talked too much about this, but when there's the search for Truman.
Yes.
And Christoph says, like, what does he say? Like, raise the sun or
cue the sun. And they're like, it's 4 a.m. We can't. Right. It's way too early. And he's like, cue the sun. And then it's like,
I mean, it's, and you know, like, why couldn't this be a world where the sun only goes down for 3 hours a day. Like, why does it have to, why does this world have to abide by the,
that's such a world? Sci-fi concept where, like, maybe this actually takes place on Mars and they're artificially creating.
I mean, it essentially does take place on another planet
when it's actually another planet, you know? Mm-hmm.
And I do like that they say this is the only structure besides the Great Wall that you can see. Yeah. I wish I had written down the name of the like dome that they film this in. And I love that it's like right next to the Hollywood sign too. Like just knowing the layout of LA, that those are all
mountains
there.
It would not happen. Yeah, it would not happen.
I think for an experiment within the movie and then an experiment outside of the movie, I just think it's a fascinating movie to like think about and contemplate. There's definitely issues with it, but I just think like this, when I was watching this, I was just like, I can't wait to talk about this because it gave me a lot of ideas.
Something we didn't say also is that this movie is brisk. They do not drag out the plot of this movie. This movie is this movie is less than 2 hours. It's just over 90 minutes. Like it moves. Like once it gets going, once Truman starts to get on the path of figuring out what his world is, the movie just moves. And I really love that. Like there isn't a lot of wasted time in this movie. And I like that.
Yeah. Maybe we needed them to add that future cast meeting deleted scene back into the movie. So not just, you know, I talked about like what happens to Truman after he leaves this world, but what happens to all these super fans that their whole lives revolve around watching the Truman Show every day?
We see the two cops at the end say, all right, hand me the TV guide. What else is on?
Right.
You know,
that's interesting. Do they just move on to like some other show?
A lot of people do that. I mean, when your show ends, you find another show, right?
Much like us, we're going to move on to our next movie next week.
Before we do that, we got to give the hero of the movie, though.
Hero of the movie. I was going to do it right into connections. All right. I'll give mine to Jim Carrey. I just think I can't think of another actor who would work in this role as well as Jim Carrey does. Like, I do think he might be a little old. Like, I think it probably works better if this is a late teens, early 20-year-old. Like, it's a lot of suspension of disbelief to think he would go 30 years without discovering any of this stuff.
Yeah.
But I think, like, I don't remember who said it.
I think he's really perfect for that.
Alex O, who says, like, the comedic, but, like, the melancholy of Jim Carrey shines in this movie.
Yeah, for sure. There's a part of me that really wants to just give this to Noah Emmerich, because I really love
him. He's your come-with guy.
Mm-hmm. He is my come-with guy, but I think I'm actually going to give it to Peter Weir. I mean, he not only had to create a movie, but he had to create a world within a movie within a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, and he got a Best Directing Oscar nomination for this. He lost, but he at least got nominated. I think it's a really impressive directing feat. Especially like all of the coordination that it probably took to pull this off, with all practical effects as well. Like, you know, it's not like there's CGI, you know, really in this movie.
I mean, well, when they show the outside of the bubble, it's definitely CGI.
But yeah, I got to give it to Peter Weir.
Okay. I think I just looked at the writer of this movie. So it's Andrew Niccol wrote this movie.
Yes.
Who's also directed some films. A lot of his writing credit is these high concept sci-fi movies. So In Time, the one where you have the armband who shows how much time you have left, and that's like the currency for the world. Simone, which is kind of like a predates Her. And it's like Al Pacino. And then the other one that pops, I mean, well, another one is The Terminal, which another like a man being living in a bubble. He wrote The Terminal. And then the one that really struck me is he wrote Gattaca, which came out a year before this.
Oh, man. That is also people living in a fake world, right? Or am I thinking of a different movie?
No, you're thinking The Island. You're thinking of The Island.
You're right. That's a good connection.
Island would be a great connection. No, Gattaca is the one. It's about a character who's an explorer, and he wants to be an astronaut. His genetics say he can't be an astronaut.
That's right. I'm thinking of The Island with Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, The Island would be a very good one. That's your list. All right. Connections to other movies. We talked a lot about connections. I did, you know, just connections to Pleasantville. You know, obviously, like being inside going inside the TV, people being on loops.
We have the insulated, you know, utopian community with the gate, with the gardens and the front yards and the fences and the, You know, yeah. the neighbor who's always doing the same thing every day. In Pleasantville, it was the guy with the garden hose. In this, it was the guy with the trash can.
Yep, and the dog. Big couple weeks for what are those dogs called? The spotted dog. Dalmatians. I kept going to say Dalmatians. Yeah. For Dalmatians.
Firehouse
for neighbors
dogs.
Who have neighbors who have firehouse dogs firehouse that they dogs, walk them. Yeah. I also wrote down just kind of like the tone of melodramatic, like the melodramatic people on the outside world in Pleasantville, right? That we felt like that was kind of like soap opera adjacent, the high school world, and this kind of like we get that melodrama at times too.
And
seeing the outside world versus the inside world, we get in both. Kind of reminds me of Severance a little bit too,
for
another TV. Sure.
Yeah, innies and outies. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what was our title connection that you came up with?
I said Truman is TV. Or I also said Trumanville was another one we could do.
What about just It's TV?
We could do that.
We already have Truman Show Inside in TV. The title. Inside TV. I think that's good. Yeah. Isn't Inside TV like it sounds like a name of like a...
like an Inside Edition.
Yeah, Inside Edition. Kind of thing. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Inside TV.
I do also want to call out again, like this is 1998. So this was a few months before Pleasantville, I think we said last week. Yeah. And that both movie that we get the Dumb and Dumber characters both playing a little bit more serious roles than they were in Dumb and Dumber. I mean, obviously it's not hard to be more serious than Dumb and Dumber. But,
yeah, I know, right?
All right. Connections to other movies from this year. We've talked a lot about them. We do get that fisheye camera lens when we get the weird lenses that are inside of things.
We get that a lot in
Poor Things.
I almost said Perfect Days.
Once again.
Poor Things. I didn't say past lives.
Yeah,
past lives.
I also wrote down the product, like the very heavy-handed product placement in this.
Yes.
Reminds me of unintentionally Barbie. The very heavy product placement in Barbie, especially when it comes to Chevy cars. And it was something that was like the one thing that I didn't say on the Barbie podcast because I didn't want to bring down the mood. But like the all of the shots of the Chevy car in Barbie was just like I felt like
especially when they all line up outside of Mattel. Mm-hmm. It's such a obvious product placement moment. Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Reminded me so much of the product placement in this. So
for sure.
And that breaking the third wall or fourth wall that we get, reminds me of Big Short also.
Yes,
and
for sure.
Wolf of Wall Street as well.
Yeah. What else did I have? Anything else done? I don't think I had anything else.
I have one other thing then.
Yeah, please. Welcome I had the whole stuff.
Welcome to the Five Timers Club. Somebody in this movie.
Is it called Giamatti?
It is not Paul Giamatti. I don't think we've had him very many times.
No, we haven't.
It is Ed Harris. Welcome to the
podcast. Hey, Ed. That's right. Yes. The Right Stuff.
Truman Show, The Right Stuff, Top Gun Maverick.
Yep.
The Hours.
Yep. I forgot about Top Gun Mav. Yeah.
There's one more that I'm missing. Pollock. Of course,
Pollock. Duh,
he's the lead,
titular
he's the lead character. Yes.
The titular role.
So, another actor who has been inducted into the Five Timers Club.
Yes.
Movie map.
Where are you going? We talked about Running Man earlier, obviously. I think that's an obvious connection. You know, the whole thing with Running Man is people are creating a fake world for someone to compete in with that's broadcast on TV, and the people watching it on TV are so obsessed with it that they're like basically defining their whole lives behind this TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very Running Man, but also the world within a world and you're not sure what reality is. Obviously Inception.
Oh, Inception, yeah.
So those were the two I wrote down.
Mm-hmm. I think the Running Man was the one that really came to mind. Also, I will give a call out for Midnight Run just because of the bus scene, really. I guess Planes, Trains, and Automobiles as well. And we did say that this is like this is the last one on the Wizard of Oz movie map month.
Yep.
Do you feel now that we've watched this, that this one is as Wizard of Oz adjacent as Pleasantville, Poor Things and Barbie?
Yeah,
were?
Because I mean, Pleasantville is sort of an Oz type place because it's not the real world. It's a very like dream world of what like a perfect life would be. And our character, instead of trying to get to Oz, is breaking out.
To escape Oz,
trying to escape.
And I do think also to tie it to Wizard of Oz one other way, the inciting incident is something mysterious falling from the sky.
That's a good point.
It's
a good point. If only you've been wearing red shoes.
Right. Ruby slippers. So, all right, good. Then I'm glad that we completed movie map to Wizard of Oz month over the last 4 weeks. Right. And I don't think I know to go back, but did we not talk enough about the Eternal Sunshine connections to this movie?
I think they're all there. I think they're all obvious. I mean, obviously we have the girlfriend that is disappearing from his memory that is running through different places. They're running through the town as like people are constructing it around them. They're trying to, you know, they're going over the beach, which is very similar imagery to Eternal Sunshine. She like says something as she's getting taken away, just like, what's her name? Kate Winslet says, "Meet me in Montauk," says, "Meet me in Montauk," and that sticks with him. Mm-hmm. And her final words to Truman also stick with him the entire time. So
And both having like a god character who controls their actions that they're they're unknowingly know about.
Yep. Very true.
Although I do think that Christoph seems a little bit more by the end of this, he's a little bit more benevolent in terms of free will.
Right.
You know, similar to Godwin in Poor Things.
Yes.
So. All right. One last thing.
But Godwin never actually tries to kill Bella, and Christoph comes pretty close in this when
he does
the storm and everything.
Okay, that's a good transition into my one last thing. So I'll start.
Go for it. Yeah.
Another question that I had that we didn't get to. So before the storm, when Truman finally overcomes his fear, and you know, he gets in the boat and he's sailing in the water. How is he sailing? There's no wind.
It's a great question.
There's wind once.
Well, this
storm
is the
starts?
Other question I have, because there's a similar thing. They show how different people have broken in over time to the dome, and one of the people was a skydiver/parachuter. Mm-hmm. How did he get inside the dome to be a parachuter?
Oh, that one, I understand more. I think that one, he climbed the outside of it or got dropped off on the outside, and he like opened a panel and went down.
Crazy.
So that one makes more sense to me.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I just was like, where is the wind coming from? And it was another one of those.
A lot of wind.
You just
say they have the wind. Like, they control the wind with the system.
Well, when they see him sailing, they should have just turned the wind off. And then he would not be able to go anywhere.
That's a good point. They could have turned it off
instead of turning it up. I guess that's like our human nature. Christoph is also into it
because he says this is our hero shot when he first sees him.
You know, but it's also it's our human nature that, like, when we get into we can be kind and stop him, or we can be evil and stop him. And we always like, we'll want to be evil instead of turning the wind off. We will want to fight, and we will want to put more aggression out there. All right.
That's fair.
That's my one last thing.
That's fair. Okay. I have one last thing, Zach, and it is a special piece of feedback we got in from a listener who wrote in with a pretty inflammatory email about this movie and making certain demands about what we should be doing next week.
Oh, no.
This listener calls himself Tony Clifton. Have you heard of this guy?
Remind me. That name rings a bell.
Yeah, so this is tangentially related to a movie we may end up doing next week. If we end up picking Man on the Moon, Tony Clifton is insisting that we have him on next week as our guest. He is the alter ego of one Andy Kaufman, portrayed by Jim Carrey.
Oh, okay.
Tony Clifton writes in and says, "Truman Show, -4 out of 5. Well, I certainly didn't count that score in our ratings, ladies and gentlemen.
That would screw things up, -4.
Yeah, we can't do that. Sorry, Tony, but you can take it up with us next week if we do Man on the Moon. Tony Clifton says, "Who the heck dreamed up this pile of crap? Everyone knows the real Truman Show happened in August of 1945 when Give 'Em Hell Harry fried up a couple hundred..." Oh, we can't say that. That is inappropriate, sir. How dare you? So how can they make a movie called The Truman Show and there's no nuclear war? Not even a scene that... Nope, we can't say that either. Nope, sorry, Tony. I'm editing this email. There's some really inappropriate stuff here. If I ever see that clown Jim Carrey in Vegas at one of my shows, I'll kick him right in the toadstools and tell him exactly what a waste of 2 hours he made with the Truman Show business. Mm-hmm. Now, review a real movie next time with a real star in it, Man on the Moon, better be next. And tell that bum, Bartz Patrick. Well, that's uncalled for, sir.
Bartz Patrick.
Oh, wow. That's a new, I've never heard that before. That's really
mean. Brendan Bartz Patrick.
Wow. Jeez. Let's not pick that one up as a running bit, please. Tell that bum, Bartz Patrick, that the only pod I want to see him cast in is an escape pod out of the side of a curling cruiser out into space and never to be heard from again. Man on the Moon next, with as little respect as electrons can convey, Tony Clifton. Wow, right. That's a compelling case, Zach.
That's a good transition between, feedback and our next movie suggestions.
Yeah,
I will say Tony Clifton, he's so obsessed with the Truman from the 1940s. Why didn't he suggest Oppenheimer?
That's a good point. Maybe we should go with Oppenheimer next week.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
why don't we go into our ladder run suggestions?
I did, Tony. Tony Clifton's Man on the Moon to our list.
Good.
I would imagine Man on the Moon is probably going to come up from other people's suggestions.
Yes.
Also, considering this Truman Show had a literal man on the moon in it.
Yes.
But yes, let's find out what we're going to be watching next week based on suggestions sent in by you, the listeners, and ones we brought as your hosts. Once you do pick that movie, send us your feedback at Ladder Movie on Twitter and Instagram, movieladder@gmail.com. Send us your score, your feedback on the movie, and then your next movie suggestions. We will get right into that. I will say, Brennan, just doing a quick – I don't usually look at the listener suggestions, but I did happen to notice them. And there are so many that are already on my list, I am worried I'm not going to have any to add.
Well,
this might be a first. It might be a paradigm shift for this podcast.
But
we'll see. All right. Robbie kicks us off. Robbie has Super 8, Noah Emmerich.
Yep.
Also, that's a movie about filmmaking, I believe, right?
Creating film. Yep.
And 1917, production design by Dennis Gassner.
Yeah. There you go.
Right.
Nice.
And Travis has the easy answer here. Or the easy answer. All right, Travis. The easy answer here is Capote.
Yep.
However, I nominate Castaway. Oh, he didn't even go with that, with the easy answer. Castaway. The protagonist escaping over stormy waters. Also, Truman wants to go to Fiji, and Castaway is filmed in Fiji. Oh, yeah, Fiji connection. Specifically, the Mamanuka Islands. Are there any reality TV shows that are also filmed there? Oh. Survivor. All right.
I don't know.
All right. Jim, taking one off my list, Cable Guy, Jim Carrey's first attempt to broaden, which helped lead to better received movies like The Truman Show and It's All Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. In The Truman Show, Carrey's character can't trust the way those around him are acting, leading him to extreme measures. The movie shared 9 cast and crew besides Carrey.
Cable Guy's so funny too, though.
I don't think of the Cable Guy as being more, I guess it is more like dark.
It's darker, but it's dark humor. It's very dark comedy. Also, lots of TV connections in that film.
Yep, I was going to say that too. Yep.
So. He's a Cable Guy.
All right. Got to move the Cable Guy off of my list. That is one off of my list. I am very worried about this joint on the list. Next, Jim has a bonus connection or bonus suggestion. He has Escape from New York, like Truman Burbank. Snake Plissken is on a mission to escape alive from a city where seemingly everyone is against him. The movie showed one crew member. Yep.
It's an island. So there you go.
All right. Escape from New York. Alex O, a man yearns to discover who he truly is and fight against the strangeness around him and some other similarities, including also being from 1998. Ooh, we could do 1998 month. And that is Dark City.
Yep. There you go.
All right. And then next one from Alex. Jim Carrey, 1 year later in a role that blurred the lines between performance and reality, Man on the Moon, plus Ed Harris was the man in the moon. Yes, very there good.
Go. Boom, nailed it.
Also, I will note as a bonus connection, it is WrestleMania week. So actually, it would be a very good week to do a movie about a guy who has wrestling history.
Good point.
So, and another movie where fakeness is passed off as real life. This one was on my list as well. But, The Power of TV to Lie to Us, and that is Capricorn 1.
Indeed.
Speaking of the moon as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, another man in the moon. All right. Ron has the number 23, Jim Carrey's character questioning of his own sanity. I like that. I didn't think about that one. Movie that we've brought up a lot on this podcast, The Matrix.
Yep.
Lead character escapes from a fake reality he grew up in. And then Truman from 1995, a very different Truman story.
Yes, that is the biopic of the titular Harry Truman.
Titular Truman can be our title connection.
Yep, there you go.
Olin, Master and Commander is his first one. Peter Weir film where characters Face Stormy Seas.
Yep, on the high seas.
TV, this one has not come up yet. We haven't talked about it, but this one really is like...
It's the twin movie.
It's the twin movie of Truman Show. Yeah, so this is Matthew McConaughey's life being turned into a TV show.
Into a reality show, yep.
This came out 1 year later. I always felt like they came out the same year.
Yeah, I thought they came out the same year too, but yeah.
I feel like Woody Harrelson is in Ed TV.
He is in Ed. Yeah, he actually plays Matthew McConaughey's brother. So there you go.
Oh, that's
good. There's some stuff in Ed TV I don't feel like ages real well. I'd have questions.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
And then another one off of my list, Network, classic biting satire on TV.
Yes, there you go.
I did actually, when I was trying to think of movies, I was like, oh yeah, what about movies about TV production? Yep. And so Network got on my list. So Ed TV and Network both on my list. My list is dwindling. I still have enough right now, but we'll see how many more get taken. I'm hoping I don't go last, at least this time. my brother Aaron suggested Ed TV for the same reasons we talked about earlier. And then The Plumber. Which is what I had not heard of, but he said this is a weird Peter Weir movie that was basically remade as The Cable Guy.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So I'm assuming this must be about a plumber who becomes obsessed.
Gets obsessed with the client. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like if The Cable Guy is our, like, one of our natural connections, maybe we do The Plumber first, which I'm assuming a lot of people have not seen, and then we can come back to The Cable Guy maybe.
Okay, do it.
Megan the Librarian sent in Apollo 13 for Ed Harris wearing a headset.
On my list. Yep.
Also Man in the Moon on that one. And then we do have the Tony Clifton Man on the Moon suggestion.
Yep. There you go.
All right. I get to go first, huh? Good. Because I have my six, and that is all I have left.
Oh no.
We had Jeff Daniels last week. We had Jim Carrey this week. Why not do Dumb and Dumber? Bring them together. What a fine looking stew. Next one. Everybody in this movie was lying to Truman.
Yep.
They were gaslighting him.
So I've gaslighted. Woo! Gaslight's good. Yep. I thought you were gonna go with liar.
Oh no, I could have done that. How about a TV show for people's entertainment? This kind of brings us back around to the Running Man of it all. Also brings us back around to a director we saw last week with Pleasantville. That is The Hunger Games.
Yes.
On 1X. And the next one I will do is Quiz Show. TV production movie has been on my list forever. I don't know if it's like,
and it's very scandalous too.
Scandalous. Okay. Yep.
Scandalous
in the 90s. Another movie about TV kind of overtaking a character, Videodrome, David Cronenberg's Videodrome. He's a TV producer and then kind of becomes one with the TV. Did you say you haven't seen that?
Never seen Videodrome, my friend.
Yep. It's a good one.
Well, about, you know, I shy away from like the Cronenberg stuff.
But Cronenberg's got some good satire that he makes. This is a good TV satire. And then my last one, this is one that came to me. This, I feel like this might be on your list. It is a character who is not the main character of this show, and he realizes he is not the main character of whatever he lives in. I've never seen it, but we've got Fall Guy coming out in a few weeks. How about we check out Free Guy?
That was in the whatchamacallit list, the Letterboxd list, and I chose not to include it on my list.
Okay. So. Yeah, no, I think it's like he's a what is it called, like a, not an extra, but like a
he's a non-player character.
Yeah, NPC. Yes, NPC. And he does, so it's kind of that like Westworld.
Yeah, a little Westworldish. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm gonna start off with a movie that I had never heard of that came on my radar thanks to the Hollywood Reporter's TV Top 5 podcast.
Okay,
Leslie Goldberg mentioned this movie all about the making and trials and tribulations of making a TV show called The TV Set. It's streaming on Peacock. I had never heard of this.
A new
movie? I immediately added it to my watch list and then was like, oh, wait, I can suggest this for this week.
Okay.
So chose to suggest it here.
Is this a new movie, this TV set?
It's an older movie. It's from the 90s. Okay. Oh, yeah. Interesting. Maybe early 2000s. I'm not sure. So it's called The TV Set. Next thing I will do is a Richard Linklater film that is filmed over a period of many, many years as he literally watched two actors watch a younger actor learn to grow up in boyhood.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I thought that it was a really interesting
connection. That's a good one. I did think about that forgot to put it on my list.
Someone trying to create a giant real-life production, Schenectady, New York, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Another Philip Seymour Hoffman, all about a troubled filming shoot in Maine, State Maine. Alec Baldwin, Philip Seymour Hoffman. I think Call of Duty Money might be in there too. A Jim Carrey movie that I haven't seen that is not based on a TV show, but is based on a cartoon, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Mm.
Have never Sonic. 1, 2, 3, 5. Let's do one more. Ed Harris is in a movie that is now currently in theaters. Love Lies Bleeding.
Oh, he's in Love Lies Bleeding?
He is in Love Lies Bleeding. So there we go. Mm.
So we have to go to the cinema for this one.
We have to go with the cinema for that one. But that is my six that I will officially suggest. Let's take it from the top.
Yeah, nobody suggested the Letterboxd point this week, which was being John Malkovich, which I think is actually...
It was on my also-rans, yeah. Okay. It was on my also-rans, along with, I wrote down as we were talking, Don't Worry, Darling, because it's come up, but it's come up before.
Yeah, that 50s, let's see that what 50s else. Feel.
Yeah, that 50s, Downsizing.
Oh, yeah.
Was on my also-rans. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about it.
Cool.
Yeah, so there you go. All right. Let's take it from the top. Super 8, 1917, Castaway, Cable Guy, Escape from New York, Dark City, Man on the Moon, Capricorn 1, The Number 23, The Matrix, Truman, Master and Commander, EdTV, Network, EdTV again, The Plumber, Apollo 13, Man on the Moon again, Dumb and Dumber, Gaslight, The Hunger Games, Quiz Show, Videodrome, Free Guy, The TV Set, Boyhood, Schenectady, New York, State and Maine, Sonic the Hedgehog, and Love Lies Bleeding. I get to go first. I mean, obviously, I'll get obvious kick out of the way. Despite my reservations on based on the email we got, I'm going to pick Man on the Moon just
All right.
as our listener pick.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel like the obvious pick, with Jim Carrey and, Andy Kaufman is a TV character.
All right. Thinking about The Plumber, but I just don't know if there's enough. Let me look at what the description of The Plumber is, because I would be
don't
curious.
Spoil yourself, though.
That's true. But I'm just like, are there any connections to The Plumber?
Well, if we did The Cable Guy. Hmm? Then we could go to The Plumber after The Cable Guy.
If we did Plumber, then we could do The Cable Guy after.
Cable Guy, too. That's very true.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know enough about The Plumber.
I don't think I'm going to do The Plumber.
Sorry, H.
I would like to check The Plumber out. I just don't know if it's like, Aaron. Besides just being the director, I don't know if it's a guff. I'm going to do EdTV.
I thought you were going to pick The Matrix. I thought about it. That was your chalk pick. EdTV. Great. Yeah, I mean, it's suggested twice. It's a great cast.
Movie. Blind spot for me.
Blind spot for you. Interesting.
All I remember about it is, like, I feel like from the commercial, they, like, chase Ed into his apartment with, like, cameras.
Yeah, for sure. It is literally, it's a reality TV show. It's very...
It's McConaughey before the McConaissance.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Quiz Show because that's a movie we've been dancing around for so long. I think that there's enough there, because of the whole boring of reality and...
Okay.
The fiction of the Quiz Show. So there you go. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy to me that EdTV was not the Letterboxd point for this movie.
That is interesting.
Yeah. And you do think that there's enough connections with Quiz Show to?
I do. Okay. I think there's enough there. But I don't want to spoil Quiz Show by telling you why.
No. I really don't know much about it. We do have we talked about actor directors we wanted to play, and Ed Harris does end up being a director, but Robert Redford directed Quiz Show, so there is that.
There you go.
And we do have Martin Scorsese showing up in Quiz Show. All right, I should look at this, but
don't stop looking at the page for Quiz Show and pick something from my list.
off of your list, all movies I have. Oh no, I have seen Synecdoche. Which it is interesting because it's about a production. Have you seen Synecdoche in New York? I can't remember.
I saw it when it came out.
And I've seen Boyhood too. I think Boyhood is a very good suggestion, but I just don't. I'm gonna go
Not
with the TV.
There.
I'm gonna go with the TV set.
Outside the box.
I don't know anything about it. You brought
me neither.
It up.
Me and, neither.
Yeah.
I know nothing about it. All I know is that it's streaming on Peacock and it's about 90 minutes.
See, I picked this, and now you're gonna get your. You're a Peacock listener. You know nothing about it so much that it was made in 2006, not the early 90s.
Okay, yeah. So. All I know is that Leslie Goldberg suggested it. So there you go. Right. Maybe I should have written it as a Leslie Goldberg suggestion instead of mine.
There you go.
All right. Our final four, Man on the Moon, EdTV, Quiz Show, and the TV set.
All right. Man on the Moon, rentable.
Rentable only? Oh, man, that's a bummer.
I know, especially WrestleMania week, you would think it should be
also considering there. That Netflix has that Jim and Andy documentary from Mila Forman, that you would think that Man on the Moon would be streaming on Netflix along with that documentary. I didn't realize,
so Mila Forman did Man on the Moon. Did he also do the documentary? I don't think he did the documentary.
No, but he's prominently featured in the documentary.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
All right. Also, Man on the Moon does have Paul Giamatti in it.
Very true.
So we have that connection as well.
Yep. I believe he plays Jim Carrey's brother, or Andy Kaufman's brother.
Bob Zmuda is the name of his character in this. EdTV is rentable.
Rentable. All right. Quiz Show. HBO, maybe? Max?
Hoopla.
Hoopla. Yeah. Get out of here, Hoopla. All right. So the only thing specifically streamable is the TV set.
Yes, which is also on Canopy. In addition to Peacock, it's also on Canopy and the Roku channel. And Plex, Stars, Tubi, so it's everywhere.
Yep.
TV set. Directed by Jake Kasdan, who did the two Jumanji new ones. And
Son of Lawrence Kasdan, I believe, yeah.
Yep.
Larry Kasdan.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well.
What do you want to do? I mean, here's the thing is, if we did Man on the Moon, I think we would at least need to reach out to this Tony Clifton guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go down to built-in guest. Could be fun.
I don't know.
Quiz Show, I'm really excited for you to experience for the first time.
Okay.
Given that you've never seen it.
Yeah.
EdTV, like I said when it came up, I think there are some plot aspects of it that don't hold up necessarily very well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Matthew
McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. I didn't even realize until I just saw one of these reviews on this. That's the True Detective team.
Yes, they are the True Detective.
Didn't even think about that.
Yes, they are. Yes.
I think like any of these, you know, could be interesting. I don't know about the TV set. The TV set might be our version of like whatever that movie, The Rewatchables, did today. Where no.
Yeah, I know. It's a movie nobody's heard of.
Like, wait, I didn't know this was a movie.
I kind of want to go with Quiz Show.
Philip Baker Hall is in the TV set. Did you mention that when you brought
it
up?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Because I didn't look at the cast.
Yeah. Also, Franz Kranz, so another actor-director.
Oh, man. Yeah. There you go.
I think
it's between Man on the Moon and Quiz Show, and I think it's...
Okay.
How are you feeling?
I mean, Man on the Moon I haven't seen since it came out.
Quiz Show, you haven't seen at all. And I think we've done a lot of things that both of us have seen lately. I think it'd be nice to fill in a blind spot for you and do Quiz Show.
True. You're not WrestleMania fluent to want to do Man on the Moon. I can't remember how much wrestling is in Man on the Moon.
There's a little bit because he does wrestle. He wrestles Jerry Lawler, actually.
Right. Yes.
True.
I don't know. Either one. Quiz Show's fine. I'm trusting you. The Quiz Show connects enough to Truman Show that it makes sense, which I feel like it probably does, but I don't know. You're quiet.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Good podcasting.
Sorry. This is top-notch podcasting. Let's flip a coin then. Let's flip a coin. Man on the Moon versus Quiz Show.
You have a coin? Otherwise, I got to flip a towel. That's the only thing I have that I can flip.
You don't have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel. Okay, I'm gonna flip my Senate fob.
Okay.
All right. Base side is Quiz Show. Bottom side is Man on the Moon. Okay.
Okay.
And it landed base side up. So we're doing Quiz Show.
Quiz Show. All right.
Boom.
All right. Quiz Show. It is directed by Robert Redford. Was nominated for Best Picture, I believe, in 1995.
Best Picture.
Yep. With that in that stacked Best Picture year with Forrest Gump and Pulp Fiction and The Piano all that year. So.
Yep. All right. I'm very excited for you to see Quiz Show. I'm very curious because I haven't seen it since the 90s, so I'll be curious how it holds up. Like, I haven't seen it since I was a teenager. So.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I always used to confuse Quiz Show and IQ. because I feel like they came out around the same time. I don't think they're at all the same, but they both have Q's in the title.
I don't think they are at all. Isn't IQ an Albert Einstein movie?
Yes, it's like Albert Einstein. I think it's like Albert Einstein is like in present
day. Oh, he's like a love guru, right?
No, I think he's like time travels.
Oh, I thought he was like a love guru, like Cupid or something.
I will throw IQ on my list of just because of my like weird video store connection to this movie.
I'm going to throw The Plumber on my watch list and then never watch it.
Yeah. Quiz Show on my second to last page on my Letterboxd watch list. So it is one that I've been wanting to see for a long time.
Clear the watch list, bro.
Yeah. All right. Quiz Show it is. It is, unfortunately, if you don't have Hoopla, it is rentable, although you can maybe get it from your local library.
Sometimes
Hoopla lies. So let me just see if it actually is. I'm going to log in.
I can walk over to Maruku right now.
There you go. Yeah. Sometimes Hoopla, it says on Letterboxd that something's on Hoopla and then you log in and it's not. Okay. It is on Hoopla. So.
Okay, great.
Cool. All right.
Great.
Quiz Show.
Sorry, Tony Clifton. We are not doing
He can write Man another on the Moon angry email.
And he can write another angry email next week.
Mm-hmm. All right. Quiz Show coming quiz up show. Next week. TV production is our connection, I'm assuming.
Yep.
All right.
I have a title connection, but again, I'm not going to say it until next week.
Okay. And I need to remember to put IQ on my suggestions. All right. What are you looking forward to watching this week?
Oh, geez. What am I looking forward to watching this week?
I don't know. You tell me.
The Lady Gamecocks are in the Final Four. They play Friday night at 7 or 8. I have to double check the time, but looking forward to checking out some NCAA women's basketball this weekend.
Nice.
And hopefully it's a South Carolina versus Iowa matchup in the championship, because that would be very exciting.
Yeah.
So there you go. Other than that, Taste of Everything Taste of Things is finally streaming.
Oh, you can finally
not
watch
for free,
it.
But it's rentable, so I will probably end up renting and watching that this weekend. So there you go.
All right. I am finally caught up on Criterion Challenge, and I might watch another Criterion Challenge tonight. Donkey Skin, which is a Jacques Demy movie, and sounds like it's like a weird fairy tale. Never seen it. So
I think I'm gonna go watch the TV set.
Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah, good. Movie Ladder bonus watch for you. Also, I've got some other Library Ladder and Monthly Channel. Now that the basketball tournament is starting to die down, I can actually start catching up on some of these movies. So
there you go.
You go.
I am currently scheduled to be on the Top Chef podcast this week, but it's not recording for another couple days, so we will see if that happens or not. There's always a chance that that gets canceled. You never know.
Is that with our friend Latanya?
So, yes, it is.
Okay, nice.
And I can't remember who our third guest is, but there will be somebody else. And myself and Latanya Starks over at RHAP. So that's going to be a good time if it ends up happening.
And you may notice Brendan's voice on the anti-penultimate episode of Post-Show Recaps.
The anti penultimate, because there were two others that were.
Yeah, that's just anti penultimate, because the penultimate is the one before the final.
Anti penultimate. I had a good time doing that. That was wonderful.
There you go. See if you can recognize the scenes that Brendan is keeping his hands off the table.
Definitely can.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
And we'll both be back next week for Quiz Show, going on the air next week for Quiz Show.
And old Lucy Brown, yes, that light.
Oh, so I guess Slumdog Quiz Show on there.
Oh man,
yeah. There's some good Letterboxd reviews. You know, the Letterboxd reviews are a lot more kind than our listeners, I will say.
Oh man,
Truman Show has a 4.2 on Letterboxd.
Mm-hmm.
So, lots of high scores. We've got one guy says the most fun and lighthearted horror movie ever made.
Nice, I like it.
A movie I totally forgot to put on my list. I was gonna put You Pick Your Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
I was gonna write down Invasion of the Body Snatchers last night and I totally forgot. Yeah,
especially
yeah, yeah.
when they're like frozen in the street.
Yeah,
very much Invasion of Body.
Yep.
And I was like, I've seen them all, but I was like, Brendan, you can pick whichever version, kind of like we've done with The Star Is Born before. Vince says The Truman Show was Black Mirror before Black Mirror was Black Mirror.
Indeed, this is very true. Yep.
Yep.
Very Truman.
Yeah, very Truman, yes. That's true. Do you think, like, the name Truman, you know, we talked about the name.
He's a true man.
He's a true man. Yeah. Exactly. He's like untainted by the outside world.
That's a good point.
Yep. He's almost like a Fremen, but he's a Truman.
Listen, Al Gaib.
Yeah, he is the Lisa Al Gaib. Probably when people see Truman Burbank walking down the street in Hollywood after he leaves the show, they are probably going to react the same way Javier Bardem did in this might have been your alter ego, Brennan. This guy, yes. Adam Bolt, said, worried for the guy taking the longest bath of all time.
Yes, I'm absolutely worried for that guy. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
That guy should have been played by Harvey Fierstein or whatever his name is.
Oh, I know you're talking about. Yeah.
From Independence Day and Mrs. Doubtfire. He kind of looked like him. And I just feel like it should have been, especially being like a mid-90s movie, it should have been that guy. Hopefully he left the bath. I loved when he's like hanging on to the shower curtain.
He's like
you so can do it.
Yeah.
So
funny.
Yeah. Jaxie says, Brad, you're going to want to censor this one. That's okay. If I was Truman, I simply would have whipped the schlong out and that would have made him cut to commercial.
Good night, everybody.
Jaxie tags this review with cried. I wonder what else Jaxie has, has tagged.
Nope, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. No thanks.
And then Suri, last one, says, how long until someone ironically makes this real? I mean,
it kind of happened. Kind of, you know. Also, previously on Big Brother.
Yeah. Previously on Big Brother. From outside the Big Brother house. Truman, you're looking ravishing tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Truman, you're looking ravishing tonight.